I knew this day would come that technology would fail me, but my computer finally woke up. That's good. I don't know what I would say up here without the help of this thing. All right, let's see here. I am leaving forever. I'm just kidding. I'm leaving easy. I won't even be here this Wednesday. I'm going, where are we going? No, before that, we're going tomorrow. Camp Carlisle. Tom Kenton's going. Where are you at? Where's Tom at? Is he here? I know. There he is. He's going to Camp Carlisle. So we'll probably be bunk mates and get to hear all the secrets of these little boys. So Wednesday, I won't be here this Wednesday. I won't be here next Wednesday. But the following Wednesday will be November 12th, I think. And we're going to start this thing where you all are going to submit questions. If you open up your bulletin, there's a special note that Ann made. Tink will be having a time of Q&A on Wednesdays beginning November 7th at 7 o'clock. If you have any questions that you would like Tink to answer, that's dangerous, scan this little QR code and it'll go to the church email chain, or you can just message me directly. And these questions can be anything. They can be theological questions like, why does God save people? Or it can be questions like, how come I still have days where I'm completely irritable even though I am saved? Or whatever the question is. It can be a personal question. It can be a theological question. It needs to relate to Christianity, of course, but these can be personal questions. And I'm not going to say, you know, Noah Abdon asked me this really embarrassing question and now I'm going to read it to you all. It's anonymous. I will know who sent it, but I'm not going to share that with everybody. So that will start November 12th at 7 o'clock, and I'd love to see some new faces there. Do I have any other announcements? Does anybody have any fun announcements? I don't think so. We're still in the book of Ruth, and we're going to cover the second half of the book this week. Last week, we discussed the circumstances of Ruth and Naomi. So Naomi's husband, if you weren't here last week, Naomi's husband, Elimelech, they were in Moab, and Elimelech died. So Ruth is left without her husband. Also, her sons died. Their names were something. I don't know, Mahlon and Chalon or something. But they had two daughter-in-laws. They were married to these boys, and Ruth and Orpah were Naomi's daughter-in-laws. And Naomi says, go back home, be with your mothers, start over. I'm too old to have more sons for you to marry, so just go on home. And Orpah went on home, and Ruth said, do not urge me to leave you or to return from following you, for where you go, I will go, and where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there will I be buried. May the Lord do so to me, and more also, if anything but death parts me from you. And when Naomi saw that she was determined to go with her, she said no more. So Ruth and Naomi traveled from Moab, a godless land, to Judah in Israel, which was the place of God's chosen people. So we know that they were headed from a godless place into a godless direction. Their life circumstances changed. Lots of people died. Their whole family, the men in their family died. So they up and moved to a new land where God's people were. When they entered Judah, Ruth went to work in the field of a man named Boaz, who is a relative of Elimelech. So remember, we're analyzing this story through the friendship. We're in a friendship series and what it means to be a Christian friend, what it means to have Christian friends. So as we study this book, we're thinking, how did Ruth and Naomi, how did their friendship lead them in certain places? How did God lead them through their friendship to certain places? We considered their circumstances, we considered their actions, and we considered their response and God's response to their circumstance and actions. And I left you all last week with a couple of questions that I hope you pondered. What are the circumstances in your current season of life? Maybe the circumstance of your life is relational. Maybe you're having trouble with a spouse. Maybe you're looking for a spouse if you're single. Maybe your circumstance is physical. Maybe you have an illness of some sort or someone close to you has an illness. Remember, Ruth and Naomi were headed towards God in their decision making. They were leaving Moab and headed to Israel to be with God's people. Are you headed in the direction of God during your circumstances? Are you headed in the direction of God in your circumstances with godly friends. So hopefully you went home last week and analyzed these questions and really pondered them. Now this week, we are picking back up in chapter 3, and I am going to let you all hear from the voice of a great reader named Gianna Vasky for chapter 3, and her lovely sister, Pollyanna Vasky, will read chapter 4 later on. But for now, I'm going to pray, and Gianna's going to come up here, and she's going to read. Heavenly Father, I pray that we see through the story of Ruth, the friendship that Ruth and Naomi have, and they eventually have with Boaz, and they all unite together to become one new family, and that's under your lordship. They're all following you. They're all seeking you in their decision making. Lord, I pray that we're a people that seeks you in everything that we do, and we know that you will bless a situation such as that. So I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Where'd you go? I've got this for you, or you can read right from here, whatever you want to do. But you got to read into this microphone.
Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said to her, My daughter, should I not seek rest for you, that it may be well with you? Is not Boaz, our relative, with whose young woman you were? See, he is winnowing barley today at the threshing floor. Wash, therefore, and anoint yourself, and put on your cloak, and go down to the threshing floor. But do not make yourself known to the man until he has finished eating and drinking. But when he lies down, observe the place where he lies. Then go and uncover his feet and lie down, and he will tell you what to do. And she replied, all that you say, I will do. So she went down to the threshing floor and did just as her mother-in-law commanded her. And when Boaz had eaten and drunk and his heart was merry, he went to lie down at the end of the heap of grain. And she came softly and uncovered his feet and lay down. At midnight, the man was startled and turned over and said, and behold, a woman lay at his feet. He said, who are you? And she answered, I am Ruth, your servant. Spread your wings over your servant, for you are a redeemer. And he said, may you be blessed by the Lord, my daughter, for you have made the last kindness greater than the first, that you have not gone after young men, whether poor or rich. Now, my daughter, do not fear. I will do for you all that you ask, for my fellow townsmen know that you are a worthy woman. And now it is true that I am a redeemer, yet there is a redeemer nearer than I. Remain tonight, and in the morning, if he will redeem you, good. Let him do it. But if he's not willing to redeem you, then as the Lord lives, I will redeem you. Lie down until the morning. So she lay at his feet until the morning, but arose before one could recognize another. And he said, let it not be known that the woman came to the threshing floor. And he said, bring the garment you are wearing and hold it out. So she held it, and he measured out 6 measures of barley and put it on her. Then she went into the city. And when she came to her mother-in-law, she said, how did you fare, my daughter? Then she told her all that the man had done for her, saying, the 6 measures of barley he gave to me for he said to me, you must not go back empty-handed to your mother-in-law. She replied, wait, my daughter, until you learn how the matter turns out, for the man will not rest, but will settle the matter today.
Thank you. So there's a lot to that. There's a lot of little fine details, and I told you last week we're not going to get into the little fine details. We're analyzing this story through the friendship of Ruth and Naomi. So Naomi has given more advice to Ruth. Remember back in chapter 1, Ruth didn't take Naomi's advice because Naomi told Ruth, go back to your mother, stay in Moab, start over. And Ruth said, no, I don't want to do that. Where you go, I will go. Your people will be my people. Your God will be my God. Where you die, I will die. So she is committed to Naomi and the direction Naomi is going at this point. So now Naomi gives Ruth more advice that she actually does take. She said, go clean yourself up and anoint yourself and make yourself known to Boaz. So and Naomi tells Ruth to go lay at Boaz's feet and uncover them. So as I read this, I don't know about you all, but as I read this, I think this is a little weird. What are we doing here? But it sounds weird to us, but this is an Old Testament marriage proposal, and I think you can go read back in Leviticus the details of this, and we're not going to do that today, but what this is an Old Testament marriage proposal. She's going to where he is and essentially showing interest in marrying him, and Ruth went and did exactly what Naomi suggested that she do. And how did Boaz react to this? He was excited and encouraged by Ruth's kindness and her interest in him, as he was older than she was. And he seemed a little bit surprised by all this. But Boaz didn't overreact. Remember, Boaz is a God-fearing man too. So Boaz held up the godly standard in this proposal. He knew that there was someone else in the family of Elimelech that could redeem the family. So he made it known to Ruth, but he made that known to Ruth. But he said that if that man would not marry her, he would. So this wasn't rejection by Boaz. This was godliness. This was self-control. He was looking out for Ruth's best interest before his own interest. Boaz did not take advantage of Ruth. Boaz didn't lie to Ruth. Boaz did what was right with Ruth. He honored her request, first with truth and love, and in the end with godly obedience. So is this the way that we treat one another as friends and brothers and sisters in Christ? Is this the way that you treat your friends? Is this the way that you expect to be treated by your friends? So Boaz could have done a whole bunch of stuff different. He could have just immediately said yes to this request. He could have been very sinful probably if he chose that route. There are many things that he could have done, but what he did do was look out for Ruth first. He said, I know that there's this younger redeemer, this younger family member. I know that he exists. So just pump the brakes for a second. I know you want this to happen, but let's all calm down. I'm going to see what, don't ever tell a woman to calm down first off, but I've learned that. But he said, there is another guy that we could work this out with. Let's just see about this. So he was a godly example of what to do, how to treat a woman. He was very respectful and very helpful. So young ladies, look for respectful and helpful men. So what did Naomi, Ruth, and Boaz have in common? They were all following the Lord's direction. Listen how Boaz spoke to Ruth in verse 10 of chapter 3. He said, may you be blessed by the Lord, my daughter. You have made this last kindness greater than the first, and that you have not gone after younger men or young men, whether rich or poor. May you be blessed by the Lord, Boaz says. Ruth was following the Lord's direction in her life, as was Naomi, and Boaz was too. So we can see the sweetness in this story. We have three obedient, kind, self-controlled people in the center of this story who have all entered into one another's lives as friends. They aren't gossiping. Apart from Naomi's initial lamenting, remember in chapter 1, maybe it was chapter 2, the beginning of chapter 2, the end of chapter 1, she renamed herself to Mara, which means bitterness. She was so worn out, she said, just stop calling me Naomi, call me Mara, I'm so bitter, this is all awful. I don't really think that was a complaint, a sinful complaint. I think she was just lamenting because her husband died, her children died, and she just didn't know what to do. She did know what to do. She knew, I need to leave this place, and I need to go into the direction of God. So that's what she did. So these friends aren't gossiping, and they're not complaining about all their circumstances. They're following this godly path. And I have noted in here, there's a big difference between lament and complaining. Complaining is just an ongoing sinful posture about woe is me. Lament, it's okay to lament when people die. It's okay to lament when we get fired from a job, but we can't just bash our boss when we get fired over and over and over. Let's lament and let's move on. When people die, it's okay to grieve, but we shouldn't complain towards God. God, why did you do this? Why did you do that? We need to lament and mourn in a holy way. So Naomi was lamenting because every man in her family was dead. And apart from that, there were no complaints from Ruth or Naomi. These were godly friendships. These three were looking out for one another's best interest. Naomi was encouraging Ruth. Ruth was providing for Naomi's physical needs by bringing food to her. Boaz was protecting Ruth and leading her to marriage either through another redeemer or himself. And Boaz was a man of integrity, and he was going to do everything he could to fulfill his promise to Ruth. And we'll see that here in a minute. These are the kinds of godly people we are called to be. We are called to care for one another. We are called to do life together, and we are called to love one another. So as Ms. Pollyanna comes up here, just think about that. Are you caring for the people that God has put in your life? Are you loving people well? Are you seeking to be around people that care for you and love you well? Because this is what we see throughout this story. Here's chapter 4.
Now Boaz has gone up to the gate and sat down there. And behold, the Redeemer of whom Boaz has spoken came by. So Boaz said, "Turn aside, friend, sit down here." And he turned aside and sat down. Then he took 10 men of the elders of the city and said, "Sit down here." So they sat down. Then he said to the Redeemer, "Naomi, who has come back from the country of Moab, is selling the parcel of land that belonged to our relative Elimelech. So I thought I would tell you of it and say, buy it in the presence of these sitting here and in the presence of the elders of my people. If you will redeem it, redeem it. But if you will not, tell me, and that I may know, for there is no one besides you to redeem it, and I will come after you." And he said, "I will redeem it." Then Boaz said, "The day you buy the field from the hand of Naomi, you will also acquire Ruth, the Moabite, the widow of the dead, in order to
perpetuate
the name of the dead of his inheritance." Then the Redeemer said, "I cannot redeem you it for myself, lest I impair my own inheritance. Take my right of redemption yourself, for I cannot redeem it." Now this was the custom in former times in Israel concerning redeeming and exchanging. To confirm a transaction, the one drew off his sandal and gave it to the other. And this was the manner of attesting in Israel. So when the Redeemer said to Boaz, "Buy it for yourself," he drew off his sandal. Then Boaz said to the elders of all the people, "You are witnesses this day that I have bought from the land of Naomi all that belonged to Elimelech and all that belonged to Chilion and Mahlon. Also Ruth the Moabite, the widow of Mahlon, I have bought to be my wife, to perpetuate the name of the dead in his inheritance, and the name of the dead may not be cut off from among his brothers and from the gate of his native place. You are witnesses to this day." And all the people who were at the gate and the elders said, "We are witnesses. May the Lord make the woman who is coming into your house like Rachel and Leah, who together built up the house of Israel. May you act worthily in a, I don't know what that is.
Me neither. Ephrathah.
Ephrathah. And Rion.
That's why I brought you all up here.
And may your house be like the house of Perez, whom Tamar bore to Judah because of the offspring that the Lord will give you by this young woman." Can we go down there?
Yeah.
Okay. So Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife. And he went into her, and the Lord gave her conception, and she bore a son. Then the woman said to Naomi, "Blessed be the Lord, who has not left you this day without a redeemer, and may his name be renowned in Israel. He shall be to you a restorer of life and a nourisher of your old age. For your daughter-in-law who loves you, who is more to you than seven sons, has given birth to him." Then Naomi took the child and laid him in her lap and became his nurse. And the woman of the neighborhood gave him a name, saying, "A son has been born to Naomi," and they named him Obed. He was the father of Jesse, the father of David. Now these are the generations of Perez. Perez fathered Hezron. Hezron fathered Ram. Ram fathered Amminadab. I don't know what that is.
Amminadab.
Yeah. That guy, he fathered Nashon. Nashon fathered Salmon. Salmon fathered Boaz. Boaz fathered Obed. Obed fathered Jesse. And Jesse fathered David.
That's good.
Okay.
Good
okay.
work. Good work. It's really tiring reading big chunks of scripture like that, especially when there's names like. So we've reached the end of this story. And at the end of this story, we see Boaz's character shine through. He's a godly man of integrity. He followed through on his promises to Ruth. So remember, he said there's another redeemer, a younger redeemer. So he goes to this other redeemer, and the redeemer says, "Yeah, I'll take the land, but I don't want the girl." and I don't know all the details about why he would lose his inheritance if he accepted this transaction, but he would have lost his own inheritance, and that must have been a better deal. So we see Boaz, a man of integrity, not necessarily worried about such things. He just wants to protect Ruth and care for her well. So God had ordained their meeting. So Boaz followed through with his promises to Ruth. He met with the younger redeemer to give him the opportunity to redeem Naomi's land and marry Ruth, but that man denied the request. Boaz then followed through with the redeeming of the land and the marrying of Ruth. And after their marriage, they became fruitful and multiplied, which is Hebrew for bow, chicka, wow, wow, which I've said before. And they had a baby named Obed. Obed was the grandfather of David, who we know is in the lineage of Christ Jesus. So in this story, God's divine plan blossomed as Boaz redeemed Naomi's land and took Ruth's hand in marriage. Naomi, who suffered great loss, was once empty and bitter, and she is now full because her family's been redeemed. She has people to care for, to care with, to walk with, and to do life with. She has a grandson now. I don't think she nursed the grandson physically. I think she cared for the grandson, and this made her very happy. She was no longer bitter. Ruth, once a widow, is now married and with child. And most importantly, the Lord has prepared Christ's line of descendants through Obed, Jesse, and David's line. And this affects us still today. And this is just amazing to think back on this little bitty story that only would take you 15 minutes to read for yourself, how it like sends forth Jesus as the payment for our sin. So, as we close this 100-mile-an-hour flyby of the book of Ruth, as it relates to friendship, what have we learned? What can we take away? The thing we've learned, number one, never tell a woman to calm down. Number two, your friends do matter. Your friendships matter. Who you surround yourself with does matter. Ruth and Naomi needed one another. They headed in a godly direction together, and they found Boaz, who became a great friend and family member to them, and Boaz redeemed their family, and all was well again. So your friends matter, your friendships matter, who you surround yourself with matters. Another thing we've learned is remain faithful to God, even when you don't know what the outcome will be. So when they set out to Judah, they didn't know all the details. They didn't know that Boaz was going to be there and wasn't going to be married. They couldn't log into his Facebook page and see what he had going on. They had to just go in the direction of God and trust that God was going to do something good. And we need that. We need, like, Lord, I'm going to church today. I don't know who I'm going to meet. I don't know who's going to become my dear friend. I don't know what's going to happen 5 years from now. But I know you're at that place. I know that you have a plan for me. I know you want good for my life. So I assume that if I follow in your direction, you're going to bless me. And even if you don't in ways that I want, Lord, you're still in this plan, in the small details. So remain faithful to God even when you don't know what the outcome will be. We rarely do know what the outcome will be. What we have to have is faith. We have to trust that God's plan for us are good. We have to trust that His ways are better than our ways and His thoughts are better than our thoughts. We must remain faithful to God and stay the course even when we don't know what the outcome will be. Another lesson, God is working behind the scenes. God is working in the small details of our lives. From our story in Ruth, we know that Ruth and Naomi made many decisions. They chose to go to Judah instead of stay in Moab. They chose to remain together. They chose to approach Boaz with a marriage proposal. Not both of them. That wouldn't have worked out very good. They chose how to approach him with this marriage proposal. So God was present in all of these small details. Now, God is present in the small details of our life. God knows where we work. God knows who the people are that we're around. God knows the people that we're going to converse with. God knows the people that we're going to become friends with. What we have to do is trust that if we're going in a godly direction, God has a plan for our lives. So we don't need to look up every 14 seconds and request specific answers about God, what are you doing in this? We know He's doing stuff. We know God is doing stuff. We just have to keep the path. Let's say that this path right down the center aisle is the godly path. He wants us to go. He's written in His Word what He wants us to do. He wants us to have faith. He wants us to trust that His ways are better than our ways. So at this circumstance of Ruth and Naomi, they're faced with death. Their lives changed. Their husbands died. They had to make a choice. They could either stay and sulk and try to work it out in this place where God really wasn't present among those people. But Naomi knew that He was present in Judah. He knew that His people were there. So she said, let's go that way. And Ruth said, that sounds pretty good. So they went. And look at what God did in their lives. And God is working out small little details in our lives. Maybe it's a small 10-second conversation we have might blossom into a great friendship or a marriage even. You don't know. God is doing things that we can't see. I can look back now at small details of my life from 10 years ago or even 15 years ago and think, you know, God was really moving in this area and I didn't have any clue that He was doing that. Like the circumstance of me ending up here married to Heather, there's a lot of little frog hair details, little fine details that God had His hand in all that stuff. All the things we've done for each other and said to each other throughout the years, good or bad, God has worked out for His purposes, not our own all the time. So don't lose hope if you know, Ruth and Naomi didn't lose hope. They just kept going in a direction and they kept seeking God in their decision making. So they didn't lose hope and God redeemed their situation with a child and with a husband and with a family and with the ultimate Redeemer, who is Jesus Christ, who's the one that redeems us as we follow this godly path. So we realize that we're sinful and we need a Savior, and God, a long time ago, as He created the earth, before He created the earth, had this plan to send Jesus through the line of Boaz and Ruth and Obed and Jesse and David and Anamadadabadabadab and all these other people. If you go back and read, there's a great long lineage list. And all those people have a story, and all those stories have little bitty fine details, and our lives do too. So don't get disgruntled about the little seemingly insignificant things, because God has big plans even in these little bitty, what we think are insignificant things. God has big plans for us. Amen? But we have to stay the course. If you really stop and think, you know where God wants you to go, where He wants you to be, who He wants you to be with. It's not hard to know. It's not hard to say no to the wrong things. We know I don't need to be hanging. There's no fruit in this friendship. There might be later on down the road, but right now this relationship is causing me to sin. That is not the path God wants you on. Find people that will charge you to glorify God with your actions and activities. It's not hard to see darkness. Just walk away from it. Walk, even if it's a little bit of offensive. Apologize, say, I'm glad we've been friends. I got to go. I'm out. I need new friends. I need it. God wants something different for me. He's got something different for me. I want to be around godly, inspiring people. So this friendship series, I don't know where we're going next because I won't be here. I do know, but I can't think of it right now. But Jeff and Will are going to preach about something related to friendship. What are we preaching about? Let's see. Jeff is preaching about David and Nathan. David does some stupid stuff and Nathan calls him out. He says, hey, you fool, what are you doing? Sometime we need friends to call us out. And Will is preaching about the friends of Job. They try to give him all this godly advice like, hey, God cursed you. You should probably run away from him. Don't listen to those friends, okay? So for the next 2 weeks, we're going to still talk about friendship. I've made many friends here. There's a lot. I've been here for 2.5 years now. I have genuine friendships, and some of those happen real quick, and some of them have developed over time. And it's a good place to be. There's many, many friendly people here and godly people here. So connect with folks. I've been saying it for a couple of weeks. Go to lunch with somebody today that you don't know. I've learned a lot from some people in the last couple of weeks that I didn't know a couple weeks ago, really. And that just happened through a little bit of time spent together. So Spend time with one another. There's new faces in here. There's old faces in here. Old connect with new. New connect with old. New connect with new. We can do this together, and we can become friends. And we'll get to look back 10 years from now and see how God worked in these little bitty small details of maybe one lunch meeting or one trip together or whatever. So just commit to each other and let's stick to this godly path together and follow Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word and thank you for the small details of the Bible, the meeting of Ruth and Boaz and their marriage. It was all part of your grand story to send Jesus to the earth to be the ultimate redeemer for all of us, that if we would believe in him, believe the story that that you united Ruth and Boaz, and they had a son named Obed, and they had a son named, he had a son named Jesse, and he had a son named David, and David, all these people were direct descendants of, or they were in the lineage of Jesus. So we know that you're not a God that just haphazardly does stuff. You're a God that has plans set in motion from long ago, and those plans have been affecting us for thousands and thousands of years. Lord, I pray that we submit to your plans and that we follow your son, Jesus, with all that we have. And we do that with this church as friends and family. I pray that we commit to one another and we don't gossip and we don't complain, but we do lament from time to time together as one, that we would lament when people die, and we would visit with each other when new marriages happen and new births happen, and we celebrate together. But we also lament together when bad things happen. And Lord, I just pray that we're church family that spur each other along and glorify you the best that we can together as sinful people. Lord, you sent your son Jesus to pay for that sin. So no longer are we living in this sin. We repent of our sin daily, and you've forgiven us for it. So Lord, I pray that we walk out of this building as forgiven people with gratitude for the blood that you shared on the cross. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.